Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Chelsea Clinton, and this is In Fact, a podcast about why public health matters, even when we're not in a pandemic. And before I go any further, I should just let you know that I've been quite sick recently, and so sound fairly raspy and not quite myself. I'll be totally fine, thankfully, but I've been sick, and so I don't sound great, and I just wanted to let you know. So back to our regular scheduled programming. Over the last year, we've heard a lot about the physical health consequences of COVID-19, but the pandemic has also taken a toll on people's mental health and well-being. And if you ask any parent, they'll tell you that isolation, loss of routine, remote schooling, fear, sadness, and uncertainty have all been really tough on young people. Scarier still is the idea that all of this could and probably will have a lasting impact. Today, I'm talking with two people who are deeply invested in understanding and supporting children's mental health. Later, we'll hear from Rosemarie Trulio, the Senior Vice President of Curriculum and Content at Sesame Workshop. If Elmo or Grover has ever helped a child you know feel less alone, it's probably thanks to the work of Rosemarie and her team. But first, I'm speaking with California's first ever Surgeon General, Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris. Dr. Burke-Harris is a pediatrician, researcher, and advocate who specializes in childhood trauma. She founded the Center for Youth Wellness, which has helped advance pediatric medicine, raise public awareness, and transform the way society responds to children who are exposed to adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, and toxic stress. I'm delighted to welcome her to the podcast. Well, thank you, Dr. Burke-Harris, for talking with us about public health and especially mental health and kids' mental health.
Well, first of all, call me Nadine, and thank you so much. This is so much fun.
I know that you're an expert in childhood trauma. Could you just share how you first got interested in this topic?
I went to medical school for the same reasons as a lot of other people. You know, I wanted to help people be healthier. I wanted to heal communities. And when I finished my residency at Stanford, I ended up starting a clinic in one of San Francisco's most underserved neighborhoods. And I did you know, all of the things that I learned in my medical training and public health playbook in terms of immunizations and nutrition education and treating all the different health conditions. But the thing that I was noticing was that the kids who came to me who, in the course of learning about their ear infection or learning about their hearing, you know, asking for a prescription for their ADHD medicine, in the little bits in between, I would hear about the parent who was incarcerated. Two different moms said, "Can you please check my child? Because I had to work this weekend. I didn't have any childcare. And the only place that I could leave him or her was with her grandpa. And everybody knows grandpa's a molester. So could you just check her out?" Right? It was a lot. And it was something that I didn't feel like I was totally trained for when I was in medical school or residency. And what I noticed was my kids who were exposed to the highest levels of adversity and trauma, they also had the worst health problems. We intuitively think about behavioral health. I saw a lot of kids who were struggling to learn, learning disorders, ADHD, mental and behavioral health, some of the things that we typically think about. But I also was seeing like crazy levels of weird infections and autoimmune disease and asthma and all of these different things. And then when I started getting into the research about how these things affect health, that's when I learned about this body of research I had never really learned much about, which is that exposure to adversity in childhood actually changes the way our brains and bodies develop. And it actually profoundly increases the risk of lots of different health problems. So mental health problems, depression, anxiety, suicidality, even serious mental health disorders like schizophrenia. But it also increases the risk for 9 out of 10 of the leading causes of death, things like heart disease and stroke and cancer, things like diabetes, Alzheimer's, all of these things. And I was like, this is nuts. So diving into the science, what we now understand is that when we're exposed to something scary or traumatic, and especially in childhood, it activates our stress response, our fight or flight response. That releases stress hormones and it activates our immune system and it releases inflammation in our bodies, all of these different things. And that's normal. That's what's supposed to happen. But if it happens too frequently or too severely, if it happens over and over again, and especially if kids don't get the buffering, nurturing care that helps our bodies to be able to shut off our stress response, then that can lead to increased risk of mental and physical health disorders. The big study that talked about that was the Adverse Childhood Experience, the study that was done by the CDC. When I learned about it, it was a total career changer for me because I felt, oh my God, this is health. This is public health. This is science. This is medicine. And yet it seemed like there wasn't very much that we were doing about it.
For so long, so much of medicine has often treated kids as mini adults. And we know that kids are not mini adults. We know they have different biology and also clearly experience the world differently, and they need more from the world. How do you think we have made progress for either the study of kids or the treatment of kids? And what more do we still need to do in addition to clearly pushing our training of future doctors and nurses and anyone from a health perspective who may interact with kids?
So one of the things that I would say, in all fairness, is that a lot of our emerging understanding has come from advances in science and technology. I think before, because we didn't have good ways of measuring it, it was hard for a lot of people to see. And then now, when we do a functional MRI in a child who has been exposed to high doses of adversity, we can actually see differences in the function of different brain regions. And what I think is really exciting, we can also measure the impact of positive interventions. There's great research that shows now that the stuff that your grandmother probably would have told you, which is that when children, even children who have experienced significant doses of adversity, when they receive safe, stable, nurturing relationships, right? Like when they get that connection from a trusted adult who helps them feel safe and understood, that actually leads to healing in some of these brain regions. when grandma says it, it's, oh, that's grandma. But when you show it on a functional MRI, people are like,
it's science. It's science. And also recognizing that while we're talking about kids, I'm the parent of a 1, 4, and 6-year-old. I see huge differences, right, between my 1-year-old, 4-year-old, and 6-year-old. And I see huge differences between my kids and then my nieces and nephews who are teenagers.
That's exactly right. In our household, we have 4 boys, and the little ones are 5 and about to be 9.
Oh, I know that's important, the about to be.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. He's like, I'm 8 and 11 twelfths. And our big boys are twin 18-year-olds who are adopted. So we have this like big, crazy blended family. I always say the little ones help me appreciate the big ones and the big ones help me appreciate the little ones. Yeah. They're so different. Their developmental needs are so different. And the approaches that we take, right, are so different.
So Nadine, over the last more than a year of COVID-19, we've talked a fair bit about how hard remote school has been for kids, how that's affected kids' ability to connect with one another, connect with their teachers, how it's affected kids' mental health. Could you just talk about kind of what else you've seen?
Sure. It's been a tough year for kids. And I want to recognize that not everyone has the same experience. I will say that, first of all, as someone who's done a lot of research and studied stress physiology, and when I talk about how adverse childhood experiences lead to potentially negative health outcomes, one of the things that's really important is that the mechanism that happens, there's something called the development of the toxic stress response. The way that's defined is like you're exposed to the adversity and it's in absence of adequate buffering caregiving systems is what leads to this development. Because if you have the right care, you can actually shut off the stress response. So what we see has been happening over the last year for kids is that not only are they home from school, where school is a source of a lot of things for a lot of kids. It's not just a place where you learn the 3 R's. It's also a place where, you know, many kids, it might be their only reliable and nutritious meal. For a lot of kids, it's where they get their connection to everyone in the school environment. For kids who are in households where there's a parent who is struggling with either mental health issues or substance use issues, it might be the only place in the day where they get to spend a fair amount of time with a well-regulated adult who is adequately able to care for them.
It's also a place where a lot of kids get healthcare.
Exactly, exactly. It's a place where kids get healthcare. It's a place where they have a safe place to play. Not all of that is going to happen through distance learning. And so that is a big loss. The importance of peer relationships is also worth noting. But in addition to that, it's the after-school program that they're not doing. I know our big boys, they're big athletes, and that was a big loss for them, not being able to participate in their sports, their, you know, not being able to go to their places of worship and be part of their faith communities. It's all of these different things. And in addition, the pandemic brought huge economic stressors, especially for our most vulnerable. And so you're in the household with a parent who's often pretty stressed and who themselves is doing their best to cope. And, you know, we saw increases in intimate partner violence, folks who are relapsing with behavioral health conditions or substance use disorders, increases in mental and behavioral health concerns. There was, I think Kaiser Family Foundation did a study where the number of folks who were reporting anxiety or depression went from 11% in June of 2019 to 41% in January of 2021. So that's a lot. And so we have this, a lot of kids who are in households where they are experiencing a lot of the stress and anxiety. And then there was another research from Common Sense Media that was telling us that for youth who had a family member who got COVID, that their mental and behavioral health was significantly worse than for those youth who didn't have an exposed family member. So this, it's been a lot.
It's been a lot. And so just recognizing all of this stress that has fallen most heavily on our already vulnerable kids and yet has affected all of our kids, how do we move forward, both from a public policy perspective, since you're the Surgeon General of California, and also just like mom to mom, how do we move forward?
I remember when the first shelter in place went into effect, I was like, okay, I immediately started thinking about what recovery would look like, what people would be going through during this time, and then how we can have what we ended up calling roadmap for resilience. And it's really about how do we have a trauma-informed approach to everything that we do on a cross-sector level. So trauma best practice for trauma-informed care in education, in healthcare, in our justice system, our early childhood work, which I know is something that's near and dear to your heart, and across all sectors, how do we make sure that all staff and personnel, trained professionals are trained and understand how to use trauma-informed approaches, how they can be part of creating safe, stable, and nurturing relationship and environments for kids, how we on the policy side can support parents and caregivers. The parents support the child, but the community supports the parents. So how do we build communities where parents can take paid family leave and not have to worry?
What a radical idea.
All of the research shows that this is a best practice
for our economy as well as for our public health.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
How do you recommend that parents talk to their kids about these transitions, be honest about our own mental health in these transitions? our own fears of the uncertainty of what COVID may still throw at us, but still in always centering our kids and ensuring that we're supporting them. Like, how do you think we do all of that?
Self-care is not optional. And really recognizing, I think for a lot of us and a lot of parents, we value putting others first, which is really important. But at the same time, if we don't practice self-care, and when I'm talking about self-care, I'm not just talking about a massage or a mani-pedi, although those are nice. I'm really talking about checking in with ourselves, talking to a therapist, doing that, making sure that we're making time for that regular exercise or whatever it is that helps us to be able to be physically and emotionally well. I mean, that is the foundation from which we then are able to care for others in our lives. And to be able to do that sustainably is really important. But also, yeah, having these honest conversations about uncertainty. And sometimes there are things that we don't know. I mean, I'm the Surgeon General of California, and I have to sit down with my kids. And sometimes I have to say, you know what? I really don't know. I don't know when little kids are going to be vaccinated. We have some ideas. We're hearing some things from vaccine manufacturers and from the government, but we don't exactly know. And so let's make a plan for what we can do in the meantime and how we can support ourselves and support each other and acknowledging that's hard. I don't know. And I don't like the fact that I don't know.
I get the sense that thankfully there really has been the destigmatization of talking about mental health, recognizing mental health as part of our overall health. I know, though, those conversations that I'm now reflecting on have largely been centered on adult experiences. Do you think there's a similar destigmatization happening for kids' mental health?
So my short answer is yes. I think that there is right now this incredible amount of worry, frankly. I think there are a lot of adults who are really worried about what the impact of the pandemic stress will be on this generation and worried about whether it will mark them or what does it mean? I hear parents saying, oh my goodness, I have a 2-year-old and they've spent an entire year, half of their lives.
Yeah, I mean, Nadine, I have a 1.5-year-old who spent the majority of his life in COVID. I took him for his 18-month well-child visit. It was full body sobbing for 45 minutes. The nurse kept trying to do his head circumference, you know, weigh him. He would not let go of me. I was like, oh my gosh, he's normally such a happy child. But I realized it was the prospect of someone else touching him because he's never had a play date. His interactions with most of his family are on its screen in 2 dimensions. And the nurse was like, oh, don't worry, he's a COVID baby. I was like, oh my gosh.
So the thing I would say for that is he's going to have to navigate a transition. And that transition is very likely to be stressful and anxiety provoking. And you are the
which, of course, makes my heart beat harder. Like, literally listening to you, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm
so I want to tell you now. Don't worry, girl. I got you. It's okay. Right. And this is a gift of being a stress physiology researcher in my life is that that's okay because we're not going to raise our kids in a bubble where no bad thing ever happens. But hard things happen, pandemics happen, people get sick. People pass away, bad things happen in life. And what we have the opportunity to do now in this moment is to teach our kids how to regulate when something scary is happening. And this is something that I've actually been doing an incredible amount with my little ones around, okay, well, what do we do in this moment? This is really scary. What do you do when you're scared? And you're not going to say that to an 18-month-old. To an 18-month-old, you're going to rub their back. You're going to hold on. You're going to say, you're okay. You're safe. And they navigate it. And when they come through it with our support, they're stronger for it. We have the opportunity to teach them an incredibly important life skill. How do we ground ourselves when we're in moments that feel scary and topsy-turvy? And we also, especially for little ones, have the opportunity to teach them, you are safe, you're okay. So I think for those kids that have that, and for those of us who are able to do that for our kids, those kids are going to be great. The kids I worry about.
Yeah, that's my next question, Nadine. How do we help support the kids who may not have that safe place to return to?
That's why some of the things that we see coming out right now, like, for example, in the American Rescue Plan around financial support for families with kids, cutting child poverty in half, honestly, that is where our communities and for us who are in the role of making policy, like, this is where we show up for families, because I'm going to say we don't have a choice. We have been through one of the biggest traumas in a century. And if we do not support families, if we're not supporting all of us, we will see the toll, because we know that the type of things that folks have been through is the type of stuff that makes a profound difference on health and well-being down the line.
For generations.
For generations, without adequate buffering supports. So what we do right now makes a world of difference. This pandemic has widened the gap between the most advantaged and the most disadvantaged Americans. And now is the moment we have to implement these community-wide solutions to be able to ensure that everyone has a fair shot.
Thank you so much, Nadine.
It's wonderful to see you and to talk with you today. This has been awesome.
Dr. Nadine Burke-Harris is the Surgeon General of California. Her book is called The Deepest Well, Healing the Long-Term Effects of Childhood Adversity. And I wanted to share a resource that she and her team recently put together to raise awareness of adverse childhood experiences and toxic stress. It's called The Number Story, and you can check it out at numberstory.org. I was very excited to speak with our next guest. Sesame Street played a big part in my childhood, and now as a parent of three kids, I have an even greater appreciation for how skillfully their programs teach and entertain, all while helping kids to understand their own experiences and emotions. This has been especially valuable during the pandemic. This past December, my kids and I watched the town hall Sesame Street did with CNN called The ABCs of COVID-19. It was comforting to see Big Bird ask the same questions that so many of our kids have had about staying safe, about feeling anxious and uncertain, and so much more. If you missed it, you can find the whole thing on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. Behind this and other great Sesame programming is a team of researchers, educators, and creators. That team includes today's guest, Rosemary Trulio. She's a Senior Vice President of Curriculum and Content at Sesame Workshop, which means, among other things, she helps develop the educational curriculum that Sesame Street is based on. I was thrilled to have the chance to speak with her. Could you just, as a place to start, tell us, what do you do at Sesame Street? And how did you first get involved?
I'm a developmental psychologist, and my graduate studies involve the influences of television on child development, looking at both the positive effects and the not so positive effects, but really focused on how to use media in children's lives that will be beneficial, because media is a part of children's lives. And then I went to become a professor at Teachers College, Columbia University, but always stayed connected to Sesame Workshop, because they are the gold standard of how to create educational content for children, and not just children, the families and individuals who are co-engaging with their children with media. And was given the opportunity to join the workshop in 1997. And my job was twofold. One was to maintain and develop the whole child curriculum that Sesame Street is based on. It's a school readiness curriculum designed for children between the ages of 2 to 5. So getting them ready for school, and to keep that curriculum dynamic, because we're always looking at what are the best practices, always identifying what are the educational needs or the societal needs or the health needs of children that we can then address in the content that we're creating on Sesame Street. And most importantly, to conduct the research with children. We actually go into schools and go into homes and see how children are reacting to our content. Are they finding it appealing, because you can have the best content, and if it's not appealing to children and they're not watching it, we can't address those educational needs and get those educational gains. And what are they learning from the stories that we're creating? Are they actually able to comprehend the messages that we are intending for them to comprehend? So that's the basis of my job.
How do you take all of your research and all of your kind of creativity and blend those two together to create a new character or a storyline? How does that process work?
It starts with, what is a current need in child development? So there's an example of this change that has occurred in all of our lives with COVID-19. We went into shutdown, and this is a huge disruption in the lives of children, and they're no longer maintaining their regular routine. And we know children need structure and they need a routine. And how do we address all of their questions? So Sesame, here's an example of, we have an opportunity not only in our television show, but through our online content to actually communicate with parents. So it starts with, what are the child development needs? What are the main messages? And so for COVID-19, there are health messages. We want to talk about germs. What are germs? What happens when our body gets sick? But more importantly, what you can do to avoid getting sick. So all of those practices, wearing the mask, keeping distance, washing your hands, and creating a song so that kids will have a song to sing to, because we know that you need to wash your hands for 20 seconds. Well, what does 20 seconds mean to a child? So singing a song helps. But then there are all those social emotional components. I'm not going outside. I'm not going to school. I'm not seeing my friends. And I'm doing what we're calling these virtual play dates. And we're doing remote learning.
Yeah, we've done all that in our house.
So it does start with, what are the key messages? What are the key lessons that we want to convey? And then working with creative and then figuring out, what are the best stories and how to portray our characters in a way that is the same as what the children are going through. So having Elmo talk about how he is staying connected with his friends through a video chat, how Rosita is going to school remotely, and modeling that. And for this special, which was a family special, what was most important there is to give children a sense of empowerment and a sense of hope, right? We want children to understand that they could do their part, not only in keeping themselves healthy, but how they can keep others around them healthy. And that's a really important message for kids, especially when there's a lot of chaos going on and you're losing a sense of that control.
Here is another tip to stay healthy. Wear a mask in public to protect yourself and others. Make sure to wear it properly, like this. Well, this is not correct. Like this, 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 this.
What are the simple things that kids could do to feel that they are in control? And not only that, but they have a purpose. So when you tell a child you could help others stay healthy, that's amazing. Think about that. I can do that. And that also helps them build resiliency.
And Rosemary, I'm so struck by watching Sesame Street or reading books with my kids, how much more discussion there is around feelings than certainly I remember 35 years ago when I was a little kid. Can you just share how Sesame thinks about your role in helping kids to be connected to their mental health, helping them understand how to be aware of maybe if they are starting to struggle and feel like it's actually a sign of strength to ask for help and not weakness?
It's so important for children and adults to ask for help. And for children, it's about asking for help from an adult who they feel safe with. So the importance of children to have that sense of safety is critical for their overall growth and development. The other message for children and adults is that We all deal with a range of emotions. And sometimes we have these big feelings. And you could have multiple big feelings. But with really young children, those feelings can be overwhelming because they don't know how to articulate what they're feeling. So with really young children, the vocabulary of emotions is critical. And that's why it's so important for parents to have these talks and help them identify how they're feeling and putting a label on it. The next step is, how do I manage this feeling? When we think about school readiness, everyone says, oh, we got to know literacy and numeracy. You need to know your math and your letters and other academic skills. But another critical school readiness skill is what we call these executive function skills, these process skills. And one executive function skill is, how can I focus my attention right now in coping with what I'm feeling? But more importantly, how do I shift my attention away from this feeling so I could move on? Now we're building resiliency skills. So there are so many strategies that we are portraying in our content that help children and families deal with these big feelings. One example is taking a deep breath. Those deep cleansing breaths are so important. Another activity is a glitter jar. It's a jar with glitter and you shake it up and it gives children something to focus on as they're doing these deep breaths. So the swirling glitter is those swirling emotions in what you're feeling. And as you're breathing, you're focusing on the glitter falling to the bottom of the jar. And when the glitter gets to the bottom of the jar, you could see through that jar clearly. And that's an example of, now I just had a reset. And now I could talk about my feelings, but more importantly, I could figure out how to move on. What is the next step?
I'm so curious if during the pandemic, you know, Sesame has oriented even more toward parents to try to help equip parents with the right questions. And when we have answers, the right answers to support kids in this moment that we're all still living through.
Sesame has been putting a lot of emphasis on parenting. In fact, I wrote a book for parents called Ready for School, and it's a parent's guide to playful learning for children ages 2 to 5. And the reason why I wrote this book, no one is really explaining the how-tos, how to help your child get ready for school, or to deal with social emotional issues, or to deal with health issues. And I often say to parents, watch Sesame Street with your child, because we, in many respects, are a parenting show. We have a human cast and we have parent puppets, and we are modeling these interactions for parents, for how to talk to your child or how to deal with whatever may be coming up in a storyline, which represents what is typically happening in children's lives. So like, for instance, with COVID-19, parents felt the extra pressure that now they have to become a teacher. And what we were trying to say, the message we were trying to give, is that children learn best through these everyday moments. What's most important is for parents to embrace children's curiosity and not be afraid of questions. And not be afraid to say, I don't know, but let's find out together. To open up the learning as a co-learning experience is very liberating and playful, right? We want parents to engage in playful learning.
Rosemary, just listening to you, I was thinking about a conversation that I had today with my two older kids who are 6 and 4 over breakfast. And they were asking again, Mom, when are we going to be able to get vaccinated against COVID-19? Mm-hmm. And I had to say, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It is strange for parents when we are so used to having at least like most of the answers, or answers that are more complete than not, to just have to often continue to say, sometimes daily, sometimes now multiple times a day, I don't know.
And that's okay.
It is something, though, that I've had to work on as a parent, like getting comfortable with saying, I don't know. And I think it's actually been good for our kids to be like, oh, okay.
Right. But the other thing that you are modeling is that you have a positive approach to learning, right? I don't know right now. The scientists are looking into this. They are doing this research to make sure that a vaccine, when it becomes available, will be safe. And you are going to be reading about this. You're going to be gathering information so that you will one day know, and you will then let them know. And I think that's really important for children to see us as adults, that we are still learning. Learning is lifelong. And we want to set at a very young age this positive trajectory, this positive approach to learning, which is why during the preschool years, that sense of wonder, it's going away. And we have to be very mindful that it doesn't go away.
We're taking a quick break. Stay with us.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now that COVID-19 has been classified as an adverse childhood experience or an ACE for all kids, I know I'm not the only parent who is worried about how the last 15, 16 months could affect my kids over the next years of their lives, even if kids are hopefully back in school, vaccinated, without masks. You know, what advice do you have, and how do you think Sesame will deal with the ongoing ripple effects of this, even long after hopefully we're all back in school, back together?
You know, we have all dealt with a lot in terms of the loss of loved ones, the loss of jobs. So income has been affected, which then leads to homelessness, possibly. It leads to food insecurity. And Sesame has dealt with all of these topics with online materials. Not every topic is appropriate in the children's program of Sesame Street. And we dealt with 9/11 on Sesame Street. We didn't deal with it directly as calling it 9/11, but we looked at what was going on in terms of how children may be dealing with the loss of a loved one. So in that case, Big Bird is dealing with losing his newly adopted pet turtle, who doesn't die, but he goes back to his natural environment. But modeling those strategies for how to handle the loss of someone. Also, in the case of 9/11, having feelings about people who looked Middle Eastern, and that sense of shunning someone because they don't look like you. In terms of COVID-19 and it now being classified as an adverse childhood experience, some children, yes, that is the case, right? Because COVID-19 led to the death of a loved one. So these are big stressors in children's lives. Other children, just the stress of losing my routine and being at home and not having that social interaction with others, that is hard. That's really hard for children. And now we're asking them to do another shift. So first it was like, all right, we could go out, but we have to wear masks and we got all these rules and regulations about 6 feet apart. And now the masks are coming off if you're vaccinated. So get another change. And I'm bringing up these changes because flexibility is a really important component of building resiliency skills, which is why mental health professionals were saying there's a silver lining associated with COVID-19, because this is also giving us an opportunity to help our children build those executive function skills, the ability to be flexible and to adapt. That is helping them build resiliency skills. And I think that is what we're doing on Sesame Street through our programming, is really putting these social emotional skills at the forefront, but not at the expense of the academic skills. Because when you really think about it, it's those positive approaches to learning, don't give up, and how can I be flexible and adapt and cope with my big feelings is what is at the core, the essential school readiness skills.
We also watch the Sesame Street CNN Town Hall on racism. And I think it has been really important for Sesame to do that work. And so just would be really interested in hearing your thoughts on how that work relates to your kind of mental health work at Sesame, why it has been so important for you to tackle these big issues in a way that is age appropriate, but also sometimes searingly painful and honest, as a way to help support kids' resilience and overall mental health and well-being.
It does go back to understanding that when children are asking questions, it's coming from an innocent place. It's coming from a place of curiosity. So when children make observations about race or make statements about race, parents are often uncomfortable addressing their child's observation. A child may notice that their friend's skin color is different from his mother's skin color and will make that observation and just ask that question. Why is Johnny's skin color different from his mommy? And often a parent would say, oh, no, we don't talk about skin color. We're all the same on the inside. When you dismiss a child's question because you are uncomfortable answering it, you are now sending this message that they asked the wrong question. And that goes back to helping children have this positive approach to learning, because they're coming like, I just want to know, because young children are just categorizing, right? They're trying to figure out how the world works. They're not born racist. Racism is learned. So on Sesame, we have decided, even though we have a long history of showing diversity and inclusion and letting everyone know that we all belong, we decided that we're going to be much more explicit in talking about children's questions about race. But more importantly, to identify when there is unfair behavior based on skin color, eye shape, hair texture, or even their language that they speak or the accent that they may have. And it gets back to mental health because we want to empower children. So we want to instill a positive self-identity. So we want all children to embrace their racial, ethnic, and cultural identity and to feel good about themselves. But more importantly, learn about others. Television can be a mirror. I want to be able to see myself, but it's also a window for us to see and to learn about others. And Sesame Street takes this very seriously. And we want to teach children about how they could do their part to be an upstander. So when they do see someone being left out or talked about in a mean way because of their race, ethnicity, and culture, we want them to, maybe they need to go to a trusted adult and get some help. If they can, to say that is wrong, to stand up and identify that is a wrong behavior, and to be there as an ally in support of others when they see this. Many years ago, we did a bullying show with Big Bird, where he was trying to join the Good Birds Club. And he's like, I'm a good bird. I could be a part of the Good Birds Club. But they were keeping him out because the club was comprised of small blue birds, and he doesn't fit. He is an 8'2" yellow bird with very large feet. And so they were picking on his physical appearance as a way of keeping him out. And we modeled what it means to be an upstander in that particular episode. While Elmo and Abby were trying to do their part, they needed to bring in a trusted adult. They brought in Chris to help them.
I think just as a final question, it would be good to hear, like, what advice do you have for the adults of small people to help those small people navigate through the still uncertain times over the months ahead, looking toward hopefully being back in school in the autumn? How do we help prepare kids for that? And of course, always help kids know that they can talk to us about their feelings, about their excitement and their anxiety alike.
I think the message is, as adults, parents, we got to take care of ourselves. We really have to do the right things to make sure that we're in check so that we can keep our children in check. If we're anxious, they're picking up on our anxiety. The other message is children want to be connected to us and to really to be present when they are connecting with us. And that means answering their questions as best as you can and really truly listen to their question. I think that's another thing that parents make the mistake. The child may ask a question and then the parent will go off and give way too much information, right? Truly listen to what that question is and give a nugget of information and then see what the next question it is. But to give them all this information is overwhelming and can cause anxiety. We are going to be a bit anxious probably in this new year going back to school because there's going to be so many changes. And that's where those resiliency skills come in. Empower children. Give them a sense of I can. And so if it is about going back to school, the weeks prior, maybe we'll do some role play and help them understand what it's like to have those social interactions again. I think we're all a bit anxious. We don't know how to interact socially anymore. We haven't done that.
Oh, I definitely don't know how to do that any longer.
But I guess the bottom line is that we want to give children a sense of hope and to praise them for what they have accomplished. We just got through this over a year of change and we are adapting and we should be praising these positive milestones. We've achieved a lot. We've learned a lot and we've achieved a lot. And these are skills that are just helping us overall be flexible and adaptable as we move forward, because there's something else that's going to happen. Life is constantly sending us curveballs, and how we handle the curveballs is what is critical in helping children build these resiliency skills and better mental health because of these skills and strategies.
My grandmother had an adage that life's not about what happens to you. It's about what you do with what happens to you. So after having listened to you, I really feel like she was probably onto something.
Very wise grandmother.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your work. And I'm excited to see what's next for Sesame.
Thank you. Thank you, Chelsea.
Rosemary Truglio's book, Sesame Street, Ready for School, A Parent's Guide to Playful Learning for Children's Ages 2 to 5, is a great resource. You can also find lots of wonderful materials on talking with kids about the COVID-19 pandemic and so much more at sesamestreet.org/caring. The pandemic has posed unique challenges for anyone caring for children, whether that's teachers, parents, relatives, or anyone else. As adults, it's been our job to be calm and reassuring, even when we might be overwhelmed, unsure, grieving, or scared. We have our work cut out for us when it comes to helping kids weather this drama. And just like for adults, mental health can't be an afterthought for kids. But as we heard from Nadine and Rosemary, there's a lot we can do. That includes making sure all caretakers have the support that they need. Housing, healthy and affordable food, healthcare, the ability to navigate work and family responsibilities, and so much more. And it also includes taking care of our own well-being so that we can be there for the kids who are counting on us. And finally, it includes something I still struggle with all the time, getting comfortable that we don't have all the answers for the questions that kids are asking, and that sometimes we need to say, I don't know, but we're gonna figure it out. In Fact is brought to you by iHeartRadio. We're produced by Erica Goodmanson, Lauren Peterson, Kathy Russo, Julie Subrin, and Justin Wright, with help from the Hidden Light team of Barry Lurie, Sarah Horowitz, Nikki Huggett, Emily Young, and Huma Abedin, with additional support from Lindsay Hoffman. Original music is by Justin Wright. If you liked this episode of In Fact, please make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and tell your family and friends to do the same. If you really want to help us out, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and see you next week.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.